Okay. So I have something burning on my heart while we were worshiping, and I need to share it with you. So Jesus said, ask that your joy may be full. I want everybody in this place, I want every one of you to answer that question. I feel like that's what the Lord gave to me to share with you before I preach. Is what is it that if God were to give it to you? Now, I'm not saying ask anything outside of His will, but you know, many of you have things. Lord, if it were one thing, it would be this. Maybe it's not for you specifically, but it's for somebody that you care and love for immensely. And I want you to hear what Jesus said. I want you to hear you're the one in His voice and the sound of His voice today. Ask that your joy may be full. I want you to hear how Jesus said that. He didn't say, well, here's the conditions. Here's the might be's or the maybe's. He said, here's the reality. Some of us ask, but we don't anticipate or expect. We're kind of asked like, well, I want it, but maybe the Lord doesn't want to give that to me. But listen to what He said. Ask that your joy may be full. Notice He didn't put like question marks on that. He wanted to leave that with us today. And I think the reason is because today, brothers and sisters, this is a phenomenal opportunity to be in together and in each other's presence. We are the church. We are the ecclesia of God. And we get to be here because God wants to do miracles that glorify, magnify, and show Jesus above and beyond. And some of us get used to things. You need to get a fresh fire in expectation for God to do things. I'm speaking to not just some, I'm speaking to most, if not every one of us here. The Lord is going to give us an opportunity throughout this service to come and say, Jesus, this is what is on my heart. For me, this would give me great joy. This would be to your glory, but this would give me great joy. My joy would be full if it was for this. Ask that your joy may be full. Jesus gave that to you. He gave it to you, and I'm praying that you're going to take that home with you. I pray that you're going to experience what God has for you in this moment. So as we begin to just seek the Lord more together, brothers and sisters, the Lord's going to do a whole lot more because of who He is. Amen? Amen. I want you to turn to Luke chapter 10. At Luke chapter 17. This is a message that I preached a while back, but I felt like the Lord said, I want you to do it again, so I'm going to do it again. You know, when God gives us a word, it's never for just a moment. And some of us, we might have missed it when the Lord told us then, so we're going to give an opportunity to hear it again. A nobody can worship God. A nobody can worship God. Are there anybody nobodies in this place? By the time I'm done, I think that we're going to be having a whole lot more of people says, I'm a nobody. I'm a nobody. But not in the wrong sense. So I wanted you to look in Luke chapter 17, verse 11 through 13. Luke chapter 17, and we're going to start at verse 11, and we're going to read through. Actually, I'm going to read through to 17, and then we're going to come back to these verses. Now it happened as he went to Jerusalem that he passed through the midst of Samaria and Galilee. Then as he entered a certain village, there met him 10 men who were lepers, who stood afar off. And they lifted up their voices and said, Jesus, Master, have mercy on us. So when he saw them, he said to them, go show yourselves to the priests. And so it was that as they went, they were cleansed. Now one of them, when he saw that he was healed, returned with a loud voice and glorified God, and fell down on his face at his feet, giving him thanks. And he was a Samaritan. Just keep that in mind. And he was a Samaritan. So Jesus answered and said, were there not 10 cleansed, But where are the nine? Were there not any found who returned to give glory to God except this foreigner? And he said to him, arise, go your way. Your faith has made you well. Your faith has made you well. So in verses 11 through 13, I want to recap on this. Now it happened as he went to Jerusalem that he passed through the midst of Samaria and Galilee, and he entered in a certain village, and there met him 10 men who were lepers, who stood afar off. And they lifted up their voices and said, Jesus, Master, have mercy on us. Father, thank you today. Thank you, Jesus, that you are not elevating the mighty, that you're not trying to make us big in the eyes of people, Lord, but what matters the most is how we apprehend you and how we come to you. Lord, I want to thank you today, Jesus, that humility is the call of those who are faithful to you. Jesus, humility is the mark of making it in to see what the riches are in Christ Jesus for our life. Lord, I don't think there's any better way to do this. And I pray that, Lord, that you'll continue to teach us to cherish, to long for more humility within our lives. And I want to thank you, Lord, for everybody in this place. Today, Lord, every one of us are similar to this one leper who comes back to give you praise. And I want to pray, Lord, that today that you would animate and anoint and prepare us for what it is that you're saying to us today in Jesus' name. Amen. The first thing that I notice when I read those verses is this: they stood afar off. And there could be multiple reasons why people stand afar off. And that this kind of this idea is we're lepers, and that's their reason. In other words, there's something about Jesus in our life. Now, many of us, it could be a sickness, but most of the time that was the kind of sickness that just meant that you were pushed away in the culture of society. Society was afraid, in a sense, of receiving leprosy for themselves, so they wanted to put them away. Now, doesn't that look like our culture today? Isn't that exactly what we see is the world around us is, you're not good enough, you don't fit my demographic, you don't fit what I want. The ideals of our culture is, we want, everybody wants acceptance, but nobody feels like that they should humble themselves and accept others. And immediately, here's the dilemma of how many of us are standing afar off. We look at our lives and we think, I go to church, pastor, and I'm speaking to somebody today. I'm speaking to maybe a few. And you say, pastor, I'm not holy enough. I'm here, but I'm on the verge of being here because I'm not good enough. And so there's going to be a lot of us. And I would say to you back, there's a lot of days I feel like that to stand up here. I feel like somebody else should be here. And those feelings hit us at different times. This feeling of unworthiness, this sense of I'm not adequate enough, I'm not good enough, I'm not pure enough, I haven't prayed enough, I haven't read my Bible enough. I'd like to know how many of you have read your Bible enough this week? You've read your Bible enough. How come I'm not seeing more hands? I'll tell you why I'm not seeing more hands. Because you can say, I've been adequate, but there's more that I could have. It's like there's more beyond where I've been. And I could only imagine if I just spent one more week, one more moment or a second reading. Well, how many of you have prayed enough? There's always this sense of it could be more, right? But why do we spend our lives looking at ourselves like for that part of us that we think we could have been more, that we're condemned and not because we've actually sufficiently sought the Lord? But many are saying, I didn't even seek the Lord at all this week. I didn't even pray at all this week. And their contingency is on the basis of, I didn't do it last week, and I didn't do it over the month, and I didn't do it. And then you add to that some of the other things and the strains on our mind, and I just took the world in. I drank it from television onto Facebook, onto every form of world. I just drank it in. And I feel rotten, and I feel dirty, and I feel like when I come to church, I need to stand in the back. I don't even think that I should be invited to come through the door. And that's what you're thinking about yourself, right? I just need to say that because people really do think that about themselves. Most of us don't go around sporting off how great we are. Praise the Lord that we don't do that either. But some of us are missing what God has for us because we spend time standing afar off to a Jesus who wants to bring us close. He wants us to be close to Him right now. You can elevate everything you can think of as to the reason why you're unfit. And that's not good enough. See, there's a lot of people that are not here with us today. And it's not because they're not sick, not at least in a physical sense. But they're sick with this mindset. They're sick with this idea in their head that they aren't good enough to be here. Well, I'm going to swap this around on you here in a minute and show you that's not necessarily what God's looking for. They were conscious of their unfitness to come to Jesus, but they hoped that His mercy would be greater than their unworthiness. See, notice they didn't stay that way. They just started that way. They had hoped that His mercy would be greater than their unworthiness. Can I say to you, if you're listening to me right now and you're saying, Pastor, I'm not worthy. I want to say to you that despite your unworthiness, the mercy of God is available. I love that verse in Ephesians that says, He is rich in mercy for the great love wherewith He loved us. He is rich in mercy for the great love wherewith He's loved us. Have you put yourself outside of that mercy? Is it that you say that you're not, but He doesn't say that? Because it's not that we become worthy, it's that His mercy elevates beyond our worthiness. God always finds us in an unworthy state. We're never worthy, folks. We never get to the place that we're so good or we're so righteous or we're so pure that now God puts me in a new category and leaves everybody else in this other one. This is the one that we were looking for. That no matter how spiritual you get, no matter how enlarged in spirit you are, no matter how close to Jesus you are, still the fabric of you is an unworthy individual that constantly gets because God loves. Constantly gets because God loves. Sometimes our fault is in thinking it is safer to address Jesus from a distance as if He would be offended by our coming but honored by our shouting. Some of you need to hear that too. All of us in different points. How many of you have been there where you can say, I got so miserable and I was hurting so bad that I was yelling at God? How many of you have been there? I'm not seeing very many hands not go up, right? We've been there. We've been like, God, and what is it really? Truth be told, it's that feeling more than anything, I'm in a space in life I don't understand, and I don't know what to do with this. And I feel like I need God, right? Now, when we shout at Him and we yell insults to Him, I love this, and I'm going to say it because somebody needs to hear this morning. And shout amen, Pastor, when I do. God knows how to interpret grief. God knows how to interpret grief. You know what I love? The fact that most people, when they shout to God, don't live like that on a normal basis. It's a moment in their life. It's the exception to the rule. Most of the time you'll find us lifting our hands and worshiping and praising Him with wholeheartedness. But there are those times in life where things just get so far out of control, you don't know what to do with, and it hurts. And Jesus has not gotten off of the throne. You're just expressing the pain that you're going through. Now, some people, I would say they go on another level, and that's not what we're talking about. Some people, they're shouting at God because they really are elevating their self-righteousness over God as if they really are God themselves. But I would say the majority of us fit the demographic of we're just hurting in the moment. And I'm grateful we have a Father that can interpret the grief of the moment. There's tears in life, folks. There is tears. There is sorrow. There is suffering, even for the best of the Christians. If Paul didn't escape it, there's no doubt we're not going to escape it. If Jesus Himself didn't escape it, there's no doubt we're going to go through it. There's hardships for us all. But the beauty of it is that we find the loving heart of our Father always to attach ourselves to. Vulnerability is a powerful thing when we're seeking the Lord. It's a powerful thing when we're seeking the Lord. People are struggling desperately to be vulnerable. Men especially. Men do not get vulnerable. But we get vulnerable when we get to the place we are now, we have no more answers and we're broken. And that's exactly where God needs men to be. He needs all of us to be in that space where we're broken. Not the kind of brokenness that leads us away from the Lord, but the kind of brokenness that leads us passionately to get in front of Him. Luke 17:14, if you look at that verse, I want to read here in verse 14. So when He saw them, don't you love that? Here's these men that are afar off and Jesus sees them. No matter how distant you are from God, Jesus sees you. I was actually moved so powerfully when you read the story of Abraham and Sarah. And Hagar, as she was treated so badly by Sarah, she ran off and she was met by an angel of the Lord. And after that meeting with the angel of God, she calls him the God who sees. The God who sees. Somebody needs to see Him as the God who sees. You need to know He sees you. You need to know, despite how everybody treats you, God sees you. He knows you. He does not just know what you're going through. He knows your heart. He knows where you're at. People need to know that. This is a world full of abuse. And while you're being abused, while you're the life of being sucked out of you by the culture around you, you have to know God sees you. God sees you. What I mean by that is sometimes the afar off feeling is, I have been through so much in my life. Some of you live like that. I've been through so much in my life that I feel like I've never really gotten close with God. And you elaborate on that, and you can elaborate that on that over and over and over again. And you need to know that the Lord sees you. He sees you. He sees you like nobody can see you. And He sees you compassionately. And He sees you with much love. See, it breaks my heart to know that there is a world of people that have been abused and they have no recourse but to live in the pain and the struggle of what that's like. But here I'm going to say to you that even though the whole world may seem absent from care and concern for you, it is powerful that Jesus never fits that crowd. He never does. And you can't personalize that upon Him. Because it doesn't belong to Him. You know, when my wife was sharing about her brother, I feel like here's a man that's letting himself go so far into darkness because he doesn't realize that Jesus sees him. There's a beautiful song out there that he's as close as the mention of His name. And oh, wouldn't it be something today if we saw the miracle of those who felt like Jesus didn't see them finally let go of all of that and open their hearts to Him and find out how close He really is when you open up your heart and mention His name. So when He saw them, He said to them, go show yourselves to the priests. And it was so. And so it was that as they went, they were cleansed. They were cleansed. Isn't this powerful? The evidence of their healing, the physical evidence of their healing came in the act of their obedience. Some people are so mad at God, and yet they're so disobedient to Him. And they don't realize that obedience is the hand that opens the blessing. All we have to do is obey what He wants. That's all we have to do, folks. We don't have to make it any more difficult than that. It's just obey Him. And so Jesus really wants us to know Him in that way. And so the evidence of their healing, can you imagine that as they're walking and they're going to the priest. They haven't been cleansed yet. It hasn't yet happened. But they're going to Jesus. And as they're going on their way, somewhere along that path, they're being cleansed of leprosy. Wouldn't you love to be that person? Maybe you don't have leprosy today, but you got something else going on, physically going on, and you just need to step and you need to walk toward Jesus obediently. You don't need to do another form. Brothers and sisters, churches are so full of forms and rituals that we think that if I do the form, if I follow the ritual, that I will finally get the blessing. And so they will do anything. They will give more money. They will take the communion. They'll spend longer taking the communion. They will get up here and testify and pray. Oh, I'll get baptized. I'll do anything as long as I can get my blessing. And Jesus is trying to open the reality is my heart is softer than that. My will is better than that. I want you to come without having to offer anything. I love that in Isaiah 55 where he says, "Ho, everyone that hungers and thirsts, come without money and without price." You hear what God is saying to you. He's saying, I see your need. I see where you're at. I know what you're going through. Come without anything. Don't come to offer me. Don't come to give to me. Come to just receive from me. Jesus is so rich, there isn't anything we're going to offer him that's going to pay the price of what we need from him. Some of us need to see how open-hearted the Father is to us, how willingly Jesus is ready to grant to us our request. As a matter of fact, I think it's so powerful that Jesus said, if you being evil know how to give good gifts to your children. How many of you know how to give good gifts to your children? Now, I struggle to give a good gift to my kids when I come to the realization of I don't know what they want. But if I know what they want, it's not hard. Now, the other thing is my resources dry up long before God's ever does. He's infinitely more capable. He's infinitely more willing and he's infinitely more powerful to do so. And so I would say this, probably most cases for when my kids, if I knew what they wanted and I knew that at any price I could afford it, I would give it to them. And Jesus said, if you being evil, not if you being righteous, if you being evil, and we need to fit that category, if you being evil know how to give good gifts, even evil people know how to do this, how much more will he give good things to those that love him? His heart is open to the hurting. His heart is open to the hurting. The door is open right now. It's just the hurting don't realize how open that door is. They don't realize how open that door is. The second thing is, as we read through this verse, so Jesus told them to go see the priests for their cleansing. The biggest part of what Jesus wanted for them to do, he didn't even mention. He told them to go to the priest, but he had something else in mind. He had something more important, and he didn't even say it. And I think the reason is because when your heart, when you finally find that sweet place with Jesus, when you find that place that God has for you in his heart and will, he doesn't need to ask you to this. You will naturally do it. You will naturally do just this. The biggest part of what Jesus wanted wasn't mentioned. Too often we think that getting the healing is the sign that we did everything that God wanted. This is birthed into our culture. It's what do I want for me? And I want to turn your minds and attentions on something that's more valuable, more wonderful than anything you could ever want for yourself. No matter how important, how needy you are of it, it's greater than what you get for you. And I love this because even though Jesus hadn't got it, he gave everybody a cleansing, even though only one gave it to him. Only one. I want to say there's many that have been touched by God over the years. There is miracles that have swept over their life. There has been ways of God's deliverance and his faithfulness shown to them. And they are at this very moment, they have pushed God out of the door of their life, but he still gave it to you anyway. You can never go back and say, the Lord has been unfaithful to me. It's miraculous what the Lord has done. I've had people come in and out of my life. I have one that I still cry out for. And you know, as we've shared with you, this friend of mine, it's his mom and dad that took me into their home when my mom and her boyfriend kicked me out of the house for coming to church, for reading my Bible, for praying, for trying to get close to God. And they didn't want anything to do with it, and they kicked me out of my house. And this family, not my blood relatives, took me in. And I would receive gracious love in a time when I wasn't being loved by my own home. And I think that's powerful because it just magnified how God feels about us. See, some of us just, I would say this is the difference. Some of us just don't come expecting. We come with a heart filled of saying why God, why we're mad at Him. Why do we don't feel like He's been there for us, whatever the case is. So in verses 15 and 16, I want you to look there. Now when one of them, when he saw that he was healed, returned with a loud voice and glorified God and fell down at his face, at his feet, giving him thanks. And he was a Samaritan. If you understand anything about the Bible, the Samaritans were the despised of society. They were the despised of society. They were the ones that they didn't have a welcome place into the church. They were the ones that if they were coming into the church, they would be the ones that we would have somebody at the front door escorting them to go away, right? That's the Samaritans in their day. You don't belong here. You can't be here. And how many people wonder if that's really their status as far as God is concerned? Now, one of the things is people really do. They say, well, a Christian rejected me, so that must mean God rejected me. Not on your life. Not on your life. Now, when we feel like there's some distance between somebody and God, it's because they don't give themselves to Him. See, we have the mentality over and over again, I want to get from, but I don't want to give to. But when you release your heart to give to Him, that's the difference. And you see here, this one, out of 10 people that were healed, only one of them came back to glorify Him. Not just to give Him praise, but to glorify Him. To fall at His feet, fall on His face, and just glorify Him. When I look back over the landscape of my life, and I think about where I've come from, I think about the home I came from, I think about every aspect of my life, and I could say this, it is a miracle that God found a way to get into my life. Because everything about the environment was so godless and so away from the Lord. My mom was probably the closest saving grace that I had. And that was that she would take me to church when I was little. But that quit as we got older because my dad said, you can't take him to church. We won't let him come to church. And even after I made it into church, it's still a miracle that I found my way to Jesus. Because you can be in church and never find Jesus at all. And so that's the bigger issue in life. And so for me, it's like everything about my heart was I needed to be the love of God. I needed everything that God had for me. I needed His will in His perfection. But I had no clue what that actually looked like. I had no clue that God had been calling my name, James. I'm not hearing that. I'm hearing my dad yell at my mom, James. I hear my dad thrashing down in the downstairs while my mom has been divorced from him and I'm afraid to go downstairs and see him. But he's calling me every one of those days. I didn't hear and I didn't know that Jesus was calling me while my dad is diverting and drunk driving and looks like he's going to go into traffic or off the road. Yes, he was calling me, but I couldn't hear it. Yes, he was calling my name. It was like the heaven was shouting my name and I couldn't hear it. I was dead in sin. I was lost toward God. He wasn't lost toward me. And so I say it's a miracle that through everything, somehow, that the Lord opened my eyes to see. Finally, it was like I could say, I could hear for the first time, the Lord, I heard Him call my name. I heard Him call my name. And you know what I'll tell you? It seemed like all the blackness and the darkness, the environment changed. And there wasn't change in alcohol. There wasn't change in the people. There was a change that happened in the atmosphere of my heart. And it was so miraculous and so supernatural that I could have lived there forever, so to speak, and I could have walked with the Lord. He returned with a loud voice Sometimes we will shout our hearts out to get something from God and not shout out His praises when we get it from Him. I want you to think about today. Would you do this for me? Would you do this? Would you think about something of your past? Would you just take some time to consider, Lord, what is it that you gave to me that I didn't get, come back and give you praise for? I haven't given you praise for. I forgot. You gave it to me, but I got busy in life and I just kind of dismissed it. And what is that thing? What is it? Because I think God wants to renew us and refresh us today as we recall His past faithfulness in our life. Some of us could say, Pastor, I'm going to go one better than that. I love what you're saying, but I thanked Him for what He's done. But I'm going to thank Him fresh today for what He's done. Because there's never a day in my life than what He's done has lost its value. And it's like it's just as sweet today as it was then. Amen. We get busy looking for God to give us something new. You know, heaven doesn't need to update on the miracles that God has given us. We need to update our phones. We need to update our cars. We need to update everything. But what Jesus has done for your soul, it's never lost its beauty and its value for you. He just happened to be a Samaritan. So actually, he also was a Samaritan. Here, the whole truth of the gospel is being magnified. Jesus didn't commend or honor him because he had nothing to offer. Realize that. He didn't have anything to give. It was because despite his status in life, he gave all the credit to the one who had everything to offer. So I remember, this was years ago, it wasn't in this church, it was in the old building. And Eli was the pastor at the time. And I remember there's a kind of a season in my life that Friday morning to Friday afternoon, I would usually leave the house and I would stay all night at the church. And I would try and stay up and pray throughout the night and just seek the Lord. And there was a lot of quietness there. There was a lot of like this, but there was a whole lot that the Lord did in that time. And I remember there was a promise that stood out to me. And it was like I realized in the moment when Jesus said, ask and you shall receive, seek and you shall find, and the door will be opened to you. And when I realized that promise, when Jesus gave that, he said it as if it were a present guarantee. And to me, I thought, wait a second, I haven't been treating it like that. I haven't treated it like it's more than just the words on the page. Is that true right now? That's kind of what began the process of my time with the Lord in the moment was, is that really true? Like right now? If I ask, I would receive, seek, and I would find. Is it really that true? And as my spirit made the discovery, as the Lord opened up the revelation to my heart, I knew it. And then I started bawling my eyes out because it became so real to me. And this is what changed. I said, Lord, I am wealthier than any man on the face of the earth, and I didn't even know it. I've got so riches. This promise has been laying dormant in front of me, and it's mine right now. It's not mine for later. It's mine now. And why? Because it's about you receiving the glory. It's not just about me getting what I'm praying for. It's about you getting the glory out of what you're giving to me. See, some people just need to hear, brother and sister, some of you need to be out in the public arena and shout out what God has done for your soul, the new thing that the Lord has done inside of you, so that people can recognize God's not dead. He's still alive. God isn't deaf. He can hear you just fine. God isn't unwilling. He's ready right now. Some people need to know that. I've shared this before, but I remember it was Tom Cox. I love this man, and I'm going to share about his life over and over again. It was his miracle that elevates me wanting to share with other people. And he was diagnosed with 6 months to live, terminal prostate cancer. He hadn't been in a church. He wasn't living for Jesus. He was no Christian. He was the Samaritan man in this story. And I remember there was one of the brothers at the church, he said, God spoke to him and said, there's going to be two miracles today. And that was when you're having evening services. And so there was an altar call made. And Tom Cox was one of those that happened to be in the church that day. on an invitation from one of the ladies at the church. And this is what he said. I still remember it so distinctly. And I think, I can't remember if it was he that told me or her, but he said the reason he came to church was because when she would come into the workplace, that it was something about her presence and her joy in life that he couldn't get beyond. And so he asked her, he said, what is the reason for this joy? And she says, why don't you come to church and find out? So he did. So he did. Sometimes it's all people need to know. They need to see there is something real. You are a child of the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, and you're not missing anything. You don't smell like the world. You don't act like the world. You don't cuss like the world. You don't have anything like the world inside of you. And so when you go out, they see something different. And it could be just the peace that's on you. But when you get there, they're like, what's going on? And we're like, why don't you come to church? Wouldn't that be awesome? Our pastor has some phenomenal altar calls, and you're just about ready to see what the Lord can do, right? So he came that day to the church, and he was one of those miracles. And when they asked him to come up front, he came up front. And I don't know that anybody in that church knew that he had prostate cancer. And I remember that this friend of mine, he came up for him, and he was just known for boldly praying. And he took that oil, like I do oftentimes, and he anointed him. And they prayed for him, and the power of God hit that man. And the power of God, he said, this was his words. He said, I could feel it from the top of my head to the bottom of my feet. There was just this heat rushing through my body. And he said, I knew that I was healed. Not a doctor told him. He just knew that he was healed that day. That's a powerful story. That says he was no Christian. He was no man of God. But that day changed that man's life. I was reading the other, I think it was last week I was reading when Jesus sent out his disciples to preach the gospel and to heal. Why not? When people see healing, they begin to realize the gospel is the element by which we receive that healing. The gospel is the doorknob that opens that up to you. So why wouldn't I? And he was that way, and to watch his life change was awesome to me. So he just happened to be a Samaritan. It's the world's prejudice. Listen to me. The world's prejudice. And if you find it in a church, not this one. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. The world's prejudice or a church's prejudice cannot determine one's worthiness to receive the fullness of God. Come on. You can say, but I've been mistreated or I didn't. Nobody. It doesn't matter. Come. He says, freely you can receive. Open your heart up to that. So Jesus answered in verse 17. Jesus answered and said, were there not 10 cleansed? But where are the 9? It's not what we have to offer. I love that. Man, I'm going to keep saying that. It's not what we have to offer. It's what we choose to acknowledge that counts with God. It's not what you have to offer. It's what you choose to acknowledge that counts with God. Come on, somebody needs to hear that. Somebody needs to know. Man, I've been trying so hard to offer up something to God. I've been working so hard to be what Jesus wants me to be. Stop working so hard and just acknowledge his faithfulness. Acknowledge he's never disappeared from your life. Acknowledge him. Sometimes that's all that there is needed is I need to stop trying and I need to start trusting. So where are the 9? This is one of the most staggering questions throughout the Bible. Not just where are those who, how would I say it? And like I said before, expectation is such an important part. It's such a role that we get when we see God move in our life. Because expectation is this. It's not me changing the timeline. Listen to that. It's not me changing the timeline. It's me being ready for when God says this is the day. Expectation is an awesome thing when we get it inside of our hearts. And so when we acknowledge the Lord in that same way, what we're doing is, before the leprosy is cleansed, we're expecting God to do his part. We just trust him. We're expecting. I have had days. I want to share one of these stories. I just want to keep magnifying this. Somebody needs to hear this. Amen? Somebody needs to hear it. I remember, this is something as simple as this. I remember I was at work. This was quite a few years ago, and it was hot. I was in La Grande, and I had run out of water. At least I thought I had. And I was like, Lord, I am thirsty. And I had no money on me, nothing at the time. And I started praying. I started expecting and praying that I would come across water unexpectedly. You know, you think that's crazy, don't you? And I do too, except for when it comes to the Lord. And I remember it finally hitting me. Well, here's one thing I'm not doing. I'm not really expecting it to happen. So once I started doing that, and I would say it's probably within the matter of minutes, where it was like I was looking around any moment, like it was going to pop up on the dash or something like that. And sure enough, I looked down off to my right, and here's a bottle of water, a full bottle of water that hadn't been opened, just like I wanted. Now, I'm going to tell you this. God had that already in place. I just didn't see it until I started expecting. God has a way of knowing what you're going to need before you need it and preparing the way for it. But a lot of us need that, because the more I started living a life where I was expecting God to do things, it started happening almost all the time. I'll share another one with you. We had on the excavators at work, there was these kind of added pieces to the teeth on the excavator bucket. And when the screw broke loose and the welding broke loose, it would just fall off. And so he had been digging, and there was like a massive trench there. And he'd been digging, and he lost one of the ends of the tooth. Now, you have to understand, the chances of finding this are like a needle in a haystack. Because this thing, there's like all kinds of trench for us to walk down. And so the assumption is maybe it's closer. And I remember us stepping around looking for it, and then it's just dirt is everywhere. So, you know, that could fall into the dirt, and all it has to do is just be half an inch under surface, and you'll never see it. And here's the thing for me. I was like, it's not about finding it. I lost that a long time ago. I don't care if we find it. But I get the feeling that if I learn to expect from God, if we find it because I was expecting it, it just magnifies how faithful He is. And I might be the only one that gets the message. But man, that's going to change things for me. And so I remember walking over there and looking. And just this idea, I'm expecting to find it at any moment. I'm just looking to find it. And I had looked for a little while. Not all that long, to be honest, but I had looked for a little while. And I remember it was like the sun or the light hit that just in such a way as it glimmered in the dirt, down in the trench. And I saw that glimmer and I thought, I gotta go look. And sure enough, it was that piece. And I could tell you story after story of similar things, the simplest things, of how God was like, you just expected and I delivered. You expected and I delivered. And to me, again, it wasn't that I had to find it was so important. It was that I needed to see how God shows Himself in these moments of expectation, and it just blows me out of the water. I could share many other stories, but those are the ones I'm going to leave with you today. Where are the nine? There will never be a day in our lives when we will have outpraised the blessings that God has given us. Some of us feel like we just need to move on. Maybe not. Maybe we just need to stay the course and just praise the Lord for it. If we are not careful, we will lose the importance of perpetual praise and love and admiration for God. That's it. The goal is not what you get. The goal is the relationship that you have with God. I hear people say all the time, it's about the relationship with God. And I'll say that's absolutely true. But it's strange to me that the same people that say it's about having a relationship with God often don't have much of a relationship with God. And I wonder why. I wonder why. Were there not any, in verses 18 and 19, were there not any found who returned to give glory to God except this foreigner? And he said to him, arise, go your way. Your faith has made you well. Now, I want to point out something because it's so important. Over and over again, when we read what Jesus said, he says it like this, according to your faith. He doesn't go to my wife and say, well, there's certain things that I will and I will not do, right? He's not giving an exception clause to this whole thing. And I know some people say, careful, Pastor. You need to be careful because there's things that God doesn't want, you know. Again, I would say, but notice that Jesus doesn't say that. He's not elevating the importance of discerning. He's elevating the importance of believing. I don't believe that God doesn't want us to discern, but it's not primary in his thought. Primary in his thought is, would you believe if you did discern? If you did understand what my will was, would you believe for it? I remember there was one guy asked me a long time ago, and this was about gambling. He said, is gambling a sin? And I thought, this is a great time to ask you a question back. I don't want to answer your question because I kind of know where this is coming. And I said, okay, so if it were, would that change anything? And this is what he said, no. That's the problem. You don't need to discern because you wouldn't believe anyway. That's kind of what Jesus is saying. So the important thing is, would you expect it even if you couldn't discern it in the moment? Would you believe? And so belief is very important. Faith is such an essential piece to this whole thing that that's what Jesus is highlighting. So here he said, believe. If you'll believe, you'll see the glory of God. And I think most of us, once we realize that's what Jesus is looking for, it's that now the challenge is, I haven't been believing. I really haven't. That's the reality. I haven't been believing. I talk like I believe, but I know I haven't been believing because I don't expect it to happen. I don't walk around like things are going to be different. I don't have a change in the way that I'm feeling about myself and the circumstances for it to be any different. But that's the importance of having faith. And so the highest honor God can give to someone is that they return to him to give him praise. And to top it all off, they were a nobody. That's the highest honor God can give us. That we came back to give him praise, and on top of that, we were just a nobody. I love that song by Casting Crowns. And it says, I'm just a nobody. When the devil comes to say, who do you think you are? I'm just a nobody, trying to tell everybody about him who saved my soul. Right? Like, I don't need to give you that answer. I'm not trying to tell the devil. You know, like when we talk about our identity in Christ, what we're trying to say, my identity in Christ is, I'm a nobody and he's everything. I'm a nobody, and because he's everything, you don't have a right to insult. You don't have a right to get in the way. What you say doesn't stand. What God says is what matters. None of that other stuff makes any difference in my life. I'm following him. You go where you want. You can accuse me all the way behind me while you're doing it. Follow me and accuse me. I don't care. I'm following Jesus. The evidence that the work of grace is a work of grace is at work in your heart is that you can go your way. I love this because it says, Jesus said, arise and go your way. Your faith has made you well. An evidence that the work of grace is in our heart is that we can go anywhere in our life and remain faithful to Jesus. You're not going to see us chameleon in somewhere else. We're going to be faithful to the Lord. And that's how we can see there's an evident work of grace in your life. You can go your way. And you're going to remain a faithful testimony to what God is doing. Luke chapter 17, verses 5 through 10. I want to read those here real quick and then we'll come to a close. And the apostles said to the Lord, increase our faith. And the Lord said, if you have faith as a mustard seed, you could say to this mulberry tree, be pulled down by the roots and be planted in the sea, and it would obey you. And which of you, having a servant plowing or tending sheep, will say to him, when he has come in from the field, come at once and sit down to eat? But will he not rather say to him, prepare nothing for a supper and gird yourself and serve me till I have eaten and drunk, and afterward you will eat and drink? Does he think that servant because he did the things that were commanded him? I think not. So likewise you, when you have done all those things which you were commanded, say, we are unprofitable servants. We have done what was our duty to do. How do we increase our faith? How do we increase our faith? Amazingly, Jesus didn't give them a faith-based answer. He didn't say, try harder. He didn't say, work at it harder. What did he do? What did he do? He gave them a perspective shift. It's the perspective you start with. Your perspective is killing you. That's why you don't have faith. And so what Jesus is like saying, when you do your duty, you don't go around sporting that off. You just say, I'm an unprofitable servant and I've done what I was supposed to do. And that's how the kingdom of God works. It's not on making us, puffing us up and building us up, but magnifying God while we become more humble. In essence, Jesus was teaching them that their faith would grow only as their perspective of themselves and their perspective of God were in harmony with what they believed. How do I see myself and how do I see God? And is that in harmony with what I believe? That's how we grow faith these days. Our best is imperfect, but this perspective is central to our ability to receive from God. Our best is imperfect, but this perspective is central to our ability to receive from God. In other words, faith increases when it's married to a humble view of ourselves. That is exactly what the Samaritan leper discovered. You can be a nobody as long as you see God rightly and respond accordingly. As long as you see God rightly and you respond accordingly, this is where the biggest miracle happens. We worship God truly. People are not realizing that. And I think that that's the biggest thing is, for us, it's uncomfortable. Believe me, it was for the Apostle Paul when he said he prayed 3 times that this thorn would be taken away from him. And the Lord said, "My grace is sufficient in your weakness." So what I would like to say is this morning, if you really have a tender heart for God's best for your life, this is the pastor's word for you. I think this is what God is saying through this. Is offer yourselves up to become lowly. Lord, I just want to be lowly. I want to be baptized in humility today. I don't want to be self-exalted. It doesn't have to be about acceptance and all of that. I want to be a humble person. God, baptize me and fill me with humility so I can receive from you today. That's how faith is activated. It's activated through humility. And so when we're trying so hard, sometimes we just need to realize you need to try less and trust more. Try less and trust more. Now, I would like to ask you guys this question. How many of you say, "I have something"? When you said, "Pastor, ask yourself, what would be that thing that when Jesus said, ask and your joy shall be full," how many of you would say you got something in mind? Come on, raise your hands up. How many of you would say you'd have some? Pretty much everybody in this room. Now, this is the challenge. Do you have expectation that the Lord would fulfill that? Could be today, but you know that He's got it in His book and you're not worried about that. Do you have expectation? Well, here's what I want to do. I want to help align us up, our congregation, align us up to receive from the Lord that promise. Sometimes there is a delay, but it's a delay because we're not humbly coming to the Lord. There are 9 other people out there. Don't be one of the 9. Let's just not be one of the 9. I want to invite you this morning. I want to invite you to talk to the Lord and open your heart up, not to what you're asking for, not what that big thing is that you have in your heart, but to say, "Lord, I'm offering myself up for you to build in me a wall of humility and baptize me with humility. More than what I have," right? Because I don't think we're lacking humility here. I think that the Lord wants to give us more. And I think God wants to do more of that in our church. As we're getting prepared, brothers and sisters, I have this feeling that we are on a threshold of seeing souls saved. And as a church, the best thing we can do to make this, set up the church and prepare it for it, is not get better microphones, not to get better how we play or sing or what we do. I think what we need to do is just humbly get before the Lord and say, "Here I am, Lord. Here's our church. I want you to minister to the souls around us." Because you're going to see places, if you've got pride, you're not going to be open to letting the Lord deal and help sinners find their way to cross to Jesus. If you don't know the Lord today, I'm going to give you an invitation to come forward, because I know how important it is to say, now a lot of people say, "I love God." I'm not talking about that. I'm not asking you if you love God. I'm not asking if you believe that He exists. I'm asking you if you know, "I don't know the Lord. I can't tell you what He wants for my life. I have no clue what His will is, His plan. I don't know His voice. I do not know Him personally, and I know that I don't know Him. I want to give you an opportunity." So here's what we're doing. You come forward and just give yourself to the Lord. That's all they did. and ask, Lord, I want to be right with you today. And we're going to have people to pray. And as you just seek the Lord and ask him to come into your life, we're going to trust him to give you new life inside Jesus Christ. New life. Robbie's been in the back and he knows exactly what we're talking about. New life. Come out of darkness into his marvelous light. And the Lord wants to do that for you today. If you're that person, he wants you to come up. So I'm going to give this altar call right now. And Isaac, as we do, you just go ahead and play the music in the background lightly as people come to the altar. If you're offering yourself up to be humbled before the Lord, and you feel the Holy Spirit ministering to you in that way, would you just come forward in Jesus' name? I'm going to be praying for you, and come on forward as the Lord is ministering to your heart. Father, thank you for today. Hallelujah, Jesus. This is the miracle of people receiving the touches and the love and the embrace of Jesus over their hearts. And God, I want to pray, thank you. I want to say thank you, Lord. And I am offering up myself with all my brothers and sisters and saying, I am asking you for me and for them. Holy Spirit, would you baptize us with humility? That sweet humility, God, that just says that if we would humble ourselves before you, that we could receive today. And Jesus, that's all that we need. Lord, I thank you. There's a need for miracles up front. There's a need for miracles all over this audience. If you feel like there's a miracle that God wants to give you, and you are like, I am so sure that he wants to give it to me, would you just either raise your hand or come forward? The Lord wants to minister to you today. This is a powerful time in the presence of God. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Isaac, would you just play the music in the background? I'd